Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. Can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome.
Our next guest on Downtown has had dozens of chart hits with his partner, Daryl Hall. Award winner, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Also a talented singer, songwriter, and guitarist on his own, as he proves yet again on his brand new album, Live in Nashville. We had a chance to catch up earlier with John Oates. Man, I love the new album so much, and a great opportunity for you, as I understand, to look at those songs, the country, blues, the songs that you play when it's just you and your guitar.
Yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Well, it's a really wonderful collection, Live in Nashville. What's drawn you to that Nashville music scene, John?
Well, you know, back in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, when I really wasn't touring that much with Daryl, I just wanted to stay creative. I had some mutual friends. I had done a production with a guy who had a lot of Nashville connections. And, you know, he told me he said, hey, man, you should go to Nashville, try to write some songs down there. And that's what I did. He made some introductions and made some friends. And, over the early 2000s, I started to go there a lot. And as I did, made better, you know, connections and friendships, musical and personal. And just started to enjoy being there, and my wife and I finally moved there and began to, I got involved in the early days of the Americana Music Association, and, it just felt, it felt like a good thing for me to be able to rediscover my earliest influences and kind of go back to them and then find a group of people who could play that same music and, help me take it somewhere else.
I wonder, too, because these days the music business has changed so much since you and Daryl first got started, but now there's, a certain freedom that people don't maybe have to worry as much about genres, about pleasing record companies, that you can do the music you want, the music you love, without worrying about some of that other stuff.
That's totally true. I mean, you're 100% right. It's completely different. You know, I've been an independent recording artist. I mean, actually, Daryl and I have been an independent recording artist since the mid-90s. You know, we made an album in 96, I believe it was, that we put out on our own label. So, you know, we were way ahead of the curve when it comes to that. And ever since that time, I've never been signed to a label. So, I'm very, of course, then again, you know, I also realize I'm very fortunate that I have the great, you know, commercial success of Hall & Oates to kind of help me support that. But... you know, I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. And that's the ultimate creative freedom, really, when it comes down to it.
I've been listening to the deluxe version of the album all week, and I love the music, but also really enjoy the introductions and some of the history behind the songs.
Well, yeah, you know, the whole show that evolved from the 2 years that I worked with the Good Road Band, it really started out as a singer-songwriter storyteller show. And it was things that I was doing on my own, you know, a solo guitar or maybe with just one, you know, another like Guthrie Trapp accompanying me on a second guitar. And eventually it evolved into a full band, but I still kept the element of the storytelling in there. It was just one of those things where I just didn't know, you know, whether, you know, having all those stories on the initial release was, you know, just a good idea. It might be too much, you know, for people who maybe aren't that interested. So we came up with the idea of releasing the album kind of with just the music and then coming with the deluxe version afterwards.
Well, what it's made me do as well is go back and re-listen to some Mississippi John Hurt.
Well, that's a good thing to do. You know, nothing wrong with going back and listening to the originators. You know, that's what I always say.
No question. We're talking with John Oates here on Downtown. I want to talk about a few of the songs on the album. One of them, I think music historians credit as being one of the first really successful murder ballads in whatever version, but in your version, Mississippi John Hurt's version, it's Stackalee.
Yeah, that song's roots go way back in American history, and as you said, you know, that song has so many permutations with different titles. You know, Frankie and Johnny kind of comes from the same, you know, same well. you know, staggeringly. Lloyd Price even had a hit in 1959.
Right.
An actual pop hit with his version of Stagger Lee. So, you know, I just happened to, you know, being a Mississippi John Hurt fan, you know, I always loved his take on it. So using that as the basis, you know, especially lyrically, I mean, I'm basically, you know, using the Mississippi John Hurt lyrics for that version. But we, you know, we changed the feel. We changed, you know, we kind of rocked it up a little bit, gave it a bit more of a rock and roll, kind of rockabilly feel.
You also do a song by one of the pioneers of country music, the old singing brakeman, Jimmy Rogers, Miss the Mississippi and You. You do a wonderful version of that.
That's one of my favorite songs on the album. I'm really proud of that arrangement because if you listen to the original, it's different from the original, but I think it has the same spirit. You know, for me, you know, I didn't want to try to make a museum piece where, you know, trying to replicate the original. The original is the original. I wanted to take the original and kind of perform it through the lens of who I am and, you know, my musical sensibility. So, I was invited to play the Bristol Rhythm and Roots Festival quite a long time ago. And one of the themes of the festival was Jimmy Rogers tribute. And various artists were asked to perform Jimmy Rogers songs, and I chose that one. And then as I dug into that song, I began to change the chords a little bit. I changed the melody slightly. You know, I just wanted to make it a little bit my own, you know. I love the arrangement and what the band did to it, you know, the way they play it. You know, the band is so damn good, you know, it's just incredible. And they always bring something very interesting to all these songs.
Well, you do one of my favorite country songs, Don Gibson's Oh, Lonesome Me, but you absolutely make it your own in your version of it.
Well, yeah, I think I try to do that with almost everything. Oh, Lonesome Me is one of the first songs that I ever played as a kid where I could accompany myself on guitar and sing at the same time. So that song goes way back for me. You know, it's just a great, great song. And here again, you know, every song on this album, you know, there's nothing on this album that I just kind of picked randomly out of a hat and said, oh, here's a cool song, let's just play it. Every song has some sort of connection to me personally or musically.
And it was a great surprise to also hear an early Daryl Hall and John Oates song from Abandoned Luncheonette, Had I Known You Better.
Well, you know, I can't let the crowd get too restless, you know what I mean? that song goes back. It's Abandoned Luncheonette's probably my favorite album. And people always ask to hear that song. Of course, it wasn't a hit, you know, so it gets lost in the storm of number one records, which is, you know, a really good problem to have. But people always have loved that song, and it's just a really simple song that you know, that the band here again did a really great accompaniment to.
John, how did Jerry Ricks influence your music?
Well, it's almost hard to tell you how much he influenced me. I met him in 1968, I believe it was. And what happened was I was looking for a part-time job as a college student in Philadelphia. And I applied for a guitar teaching position at a small folk studio in downtown Philadelphia. And the woman who owned the little folk studio was big in the world of Philadelphia folk music. And one of the more advanced teachers was a guy named Jerry Ricks. He was there, and I met him. I was a teacher. I was teaching a lot of beginning students, and he was, you know, once I heard him play, I realized he really had a lot going on. And he and I became friends, and I actually literally said, hey, man, I'd love to, you know, kind of pick your brain and take lessons from you. And so I began to take lessons from him, and through that grew a friendship. And, you know, and then, you know, he and I, as I began to work with Daryl, I asked Jerry if he would play on the first two Hall & Oates albums. And when he came to New York, he brought Mississippi John Hurt's guitar,
which
was given to him when Mississippi John Hurt died. And so I played Mississippi John Hurt's guitar on the first two Hall & Oates albums. So if you hear acoustic guitar on those records, in fact, on the song Had I Known You Better, then I'm playing Mississippi John Hurt's guitar.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I actually own that guitar now. I managed to buy it a few years ago. Found it in Colorado in a collection. So Jerry was just very important to me as a person, friend, and an amazing influence. He really gave me a lot of insight into how a lot of these original pieces were played. I got to meet people like Doc Watson and Sunhouse and people like that through him. I can't even calculate how important he was.
I really loved your album Arkansas as well, and both that and the Live in Nashville album. It kind of remind us that the history of music is in many ways the history of America, the emergence of country and Delta blues and them meshing together in many ways to form rock and roll, and it's all there in those recent recordings of yours.
That's right. I really wanted to try to just bring out the fact that, you know, pop music did not start with rock and roll. American popular music started basically it coincided with the development of the phonograph, record player, and radio. Once people began to be able to hear and appreciate music in their homes, it really created a music industry, and it created the legacy of pop music. And so once I started digging into that, you know, that idea, I wanted to bring that forward, and Arkansas and the live album, you know, really are, that's what those records represent.
When you and Daryl started playing together for the first time, what was it you heard in each other that made you realize you had something special?
I don't know. I think we kind of completed each other in a weird way. Daryl was a more formally trained musician. You know, he had studied classical music, but at the same time, you know, he sang in church. His mother was a singer. His father and his uncle sang in a kind of a gospel, you know, group. So he had a soulfulness and a kind of a gospel upbringing, but he backed it up with a more sophisticated level of musicianship. I was much more of a roots, you know, musician playing this similar to what the kind of music that I'm playing now, and I brought that to him, and he was not that aware of that side of things. So, you know, I taught him, you know, a lot about traditional American music. He taught me a lot about becoming a more sophisticated musician, and I think that really worked, and eventually those kind of primary roots kind of they were just absorbed, and we created something totally new that really was neither of those things.
I read an interview, and you talked about the fact that all the Daryl Hall and John Oates albums are that. It's not Hall and Oates, it's Daryl Hall and John Oates. And how important was that to allow you to also keep your individual identities?
It was very important to us because we saw ourselves that way. We know as soon as we began to perform together in the early, early days, way before our record contract, you know, we were playing art galleries and coffee houses and things like that in the downtown Philadelphia area. And what we would do is he would sing a song and I would accompany him. And then I would sing a song and he would accompany me. And that's kind of the gist of what we were doing. We were actually very rarely sang together. It was just one of those things. I don't know why it happened. It just was. I mean, you know, and we wanted to be two individuals. You know, it was very important for us to be two individuals.
And is that one of the things that's allowed you to continue to collaborate after all these years?
Yeah, I think having knowing in the back of our minds that we had this kind of creative freedom, I think that was important, very important. We allowed each other to do other things from the very beginning. I mean, if you go back, Daryl made solo albums in the 1970s.
Right.
I was producing and writing with other people, you know, here and there. So, but I didn't, of course, take my solo career seriously until really the end of the 90s. But that was just because I had other things I needed to do first.
These are tough times for performers. How have you been making it through the pandemic?
Well, you know, I had to embrace a new reality, like all of us have, on every level, whether it's musical or personal. And it took me a while. And then once I realized that I wasn't going to travel, that I wasn't going anywhere, which has really been my whole life. I mean, I never really unpacked my bag, you know. My bag stays packed. I mean, I could literally get up out of bed, put on some clothes, and go to the airport without doing anything else. And so once that changed, I settled into a much more introspective, routine. I started listening to different music. I put my home studio, I kind of tweaked my home studio a little bit, did a lot of the things that I'd left on the back burner. And I began to write and started writing like a crazy person. I think I've written more songs in the past 6 or 7 months than I've written in the past 6 or 7 years. So, I got involved with a movie project, which I'm just completing. It's really a great, great little independent film called Gringa, story of a young girl from California who goes to Mexico to find her estranged father. And I wrote 4 songs for that movie, collaborated with a Mexican singer, sang in Spanish, so did some really unique things that I never would have done had I been on the road or, in my general routine.
Well, that's great to hear. John, it's great to talk with you. Really love the new album. You make those songs sound so fresh and new, and I've enjoyed your solo work and your work with Daryl for so many years. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you appreciating it and spreading the word, man.
All right. Be well. Stay safe.
All right. All the best to you.
John Oates, fun conversation on Downtown. Really is a terrific album, live in Nashville, available everywhere.